Lord, I thank you so much for this chance to come together and just learn more about you. I ask that you would bless our time this afternoon and open our hearts and our minds so that we can receive whatever it is that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, did y'all have fun this week on your journaling? Did anybody already start on their Psalm 42?
Rose.
We have Rose. Rose did a phenomenal job on hers. Who else? Let me see yours. Oh, I love it. Show everybody your Psalm 42 if you started on it already. Looks great. I cheated. I printed this out, colored it, Mod Podged it on, and did some journaling around here. I love the deer. But I want to. Well, I just did. You don't have to. I did the Mod Podge just so that it wouldn't lift up on the edges, so I kind of Mod Podged it on. So I want you to know that while I'm teaching, feel free to actually do the artwork while I'm talking. Okay, you don't have to wait till after. Especially if you have to leave, you can use what's on the tables. I have sticker books up here that you're welcome to use. I have tags, some color pencils, and some of those gelato crayons that you can use. The whites are there if you want to use that as well. So feel free to work while we're talking. I don't want you to feel like I'm thinking you're not paying attention. I find that when I'm listening to somebody preach and I'm doodling or whatever, it actually helps me concentrate. It helps my brain to focus. I'm just one of those scatterbrain people. And I think that's why Bible journaling works so well for me, because while I'm studying, I'm able to concentrate because I'm doing something that's keeping my hands and my brain engaged. And I actually absorb more as well as I think more. And today's lesson is kind of along that line. I was totally planning to focus somewhere else on this passage. And the Lord just made something pop in my head. And I just started chasing that rabbit. And I was just amazed at what God puts in his word. Something I'm learning as I'm reading is that God has a lot of analogy, things that he did. And last week we talked about the sheep and the shepherd and how he said all through his word, he used sheep as an analogy of who we are and our actions, both our good things and our faults. And so paying attention to those things. Well, what we're going to read today is also one of those things that is an analogy that he placed in the word. And I found he placed in the word 722 times, which I think means he wanted us to pay attention to it. So we're going to get to that as well. I wanted to ask first, did anybody pay attention to what emotion that was in this particular psalm? Did anybody read through it yet and come up with an emotion? Longing. Anybody else? Downcast. Anybody else? See something else? Yeah. So there's, everybody's answers are actually correct in here. The emotion of this psalm is so, his desire and his longing to be in the presence of God is overwhelming through the whole thing, as well as because he's separated from the house of God, he is feeling like he's being overwhelmed and drowning in the circumstances that's going on in his life. And if anybody can identify with the psalm, we can after last year. The being separated from, you know, our family, our Christian family, being separated from being in church on the regular basis and experiencing all the things that we normally would experience in church. we had a desire to be there to the point to where we had drive-up services and would sit in the car, or we were on our computer right on time to be able to get whatever we could. But we missed being in the presence of God, in the house of God, right? It was such a time that just, it was disturbing to our spirit, our soul. And we're seeing the after effects of that just in our nation itself. Because, you know, still a large part of the body is not in the presence of God, not in the house of God. And because of that, they said that in the prisons right now, you know, they're having, they just had it on the news the other day. There was a riot in one of the prisons, and all the turmoil that's going on in there because they don't have the gospel consistently coming in. The depression that's in the hospitals from the patients that are there who are sick and dying, they don't have any preachers coming in praying with them. And I can tell you, it's so important. I remember when I had my surgery for my shoulder, my pastor came and he prayed with me before I went in for surgery. And it was just, it gave me such peace. And it really helped me to be able to calm down and go into that surgery. Well, when I had surgery for my lung, which they removed 3 inches of a couple of years ago, I was not in a church at that time. So I didn't have, you know, I was going to church, but I didn't have a pastor. And so I didn't have anyone come in to pray for me. And my husband wasn't allowed back there for the first hour and a half while they were doing all their assessments and, you know, hooking me up and all that stuff. And the enemy came in. And he was in my head for an hour and a half. I was just like, I was crying. I was like, I want my husband because they're about to cut my lung. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen here. And so I was terrified. And it's so important. You know, I was wishing God that I had a pastor that would come in and pray for me before I went into surgery. You know, God in his grace and mercy, my husband was able to get back there and he prayed with me and that helped. But can you imagine all the people that are sitting in the hospitals that are, you know, there's no one to pray with them. I mean, the fellowship is so important, but the prayer, just knowing that someone is praying for them while they're going through these things. So I can imagine how, you know, when you read through here, how he talks about, he feels like he's just tumbling in that water. Mm-hmm. How people feel today when they're not in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And they're not being able to commune and fellowship with God in the way that, you know, they desire. And then the word here, you know, he has the ability to worship God where he's at. You know, they say that David may have wrote it for the sons of Korah. Sons of Korah may have wrote it. But most people think David wrote it and the sons of Korah sang it. But they were all in exile running from Saul at this time. So they weren't able to go and do the usual things that they would do when they would go into the temple and worship on the mountain and all the things that, you know, there was more to that than just, you know, just worship. There was fellowship. The presence of God was there. There was a communion there that he was missing. So we're missing a lot of that in our lives today. I don't know why my phone is ringing and I have everything on mute. So I apologize. Turn the volume down. So, but I don't have to deal with it. Actually, I had to answer it and let them listen to the word. Because all it is spam calls. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Psalm 42, and then we're going to go back and look at it real quick. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul thirsts for my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God, under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is within me, a prayer to my God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. There's so much in that psalm. I mean, there's so much. But that first picture of him away from the house of God just so reminds me of 2020. You know, it's like Easter Sunday morning. Even though, you know, you could drive in, it was not the same. Because you were so used to being able to go into the house of God, go and stand around the altars, raise your hands in praise and festive, just excitement, just knowing that, you know, we are praising our God. And even though we had a portion of it, it still wasn't the same. And so, you know, I liken this totally to 2020. But praise God that, you know, we can come into the house of God today and we can worship him, and that we have the ability at home to allow that presence of God to come in and just wash us and cleanse us and have that presence right there in our home. And there may come a time where our home is going to be our tabernacle. You know, with the way things are going in the world, there is a true possibility that our homes will become a tabernacle. And so we have to get into a mindset that we don't have to necessarily be here, which is more important, is very, 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 very important to be in the house of God, but to also be able to take the house of God home with you and have his presence there. So what I actually want to look at today, which is, you know, all of that was the direction I was originally going to go, and the Lord kind of gave me a detour. The line where it says, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. I know that longing of just wanting to be in the presence of God. You know, when we've gone through a dry season in our personal lives, and you get that fresh and filling of the Holy Spirit after being in that dry season, there is nothing in the world like it. There is nothing in the world like just being filled up and just letting that joy and that peace roll over you. And so I just love the way that goes. But I started wondering, why is the deer panting after the water? What is the circumstances behind that? Well, I've read online where someone said, deer, when they're running, they get thirsty because they use up a lot of the water within their body in the chase. So whether they're being chased by another animal, running from something that spooked them, maybe a hunter, you know, whatever caused them to run, they were thirsty and they're looking for water. And so after the pursuit, they have to replenish their body with water. The enemy pursues us on a regular basis. And where do we go? Do we come to the house of God? Do we get in the presence of God and get replenished? Aren't you thirsty for God after you've been hounded by the enemy? Some of you work in, you know, a secular environment, and I'm sure you hear a lot of stuff that just weighs you down. You try to block it out, but everybody's gossiping around you, and you hear this, and you know about the backbiting here, and you know so-and-so said this about so-and-so. And all of that noise that you hear all day, it's as if your soul is being pursued by the enemy. You may be in an abusive relationship that just constantly, every moment, you're just being pursued by the enemy. and that thirst you're longing for is Christ. Amen. In the Bible, it talks about thirst and talks about water so much. 722 times, as a matter of fact. The Bible opens up with water in Genesis 1. Let me see if I can find that scripture. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And it goes on to talk about how he divided the waters. It began with water. And then the Bible ends just about with water. The last chapter, verse 17, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. He almost ends the book about water. So water is a really important thing. And when you start thinking about water in the natural, how important it is. I am one that I hated water all my life. For some reason, somehow, over the last year, I have a new desire for water. I don't know how it happened, but thank God it did, because I was suffering because of it. And there are so many things that water is good for in our body and in our life and in our world. Water is the most necessary element next to air that we need, or oxygen, should I say, that we need. You can go without food for a month. You can only go 1 week without water. And when you correlate that to the Holy Spirit in the presence of God, you know, even after that week, you're dying inside when you haven't been in the presence of God, when you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and take care of you. That your soul, your spirit, should I say, your spirit begins to dry up and to shrivel and to shrink. Have you ever seen a plant? Go to my house, you'll see quite a few of those. A plant that just starts to shrivel up and die because of lack of water. My husband says plant in my house is a place that plants go to die. It's a plant graveyard because I just tend to kill them. Even though the plant that I got last year is still living. And my husband even remarked on that today. He's like, oh my gosh, that thing's still alive. It's like, yes, because I've been giving it water. I've been giving it water on a regular basis. And I have it in a place where I sit all the time so that I'm always mindful of the fact that it needs to have some water today. And it's growing. And I mean, it's growing. It's just putting off new shoots and it's spreading out and it's kind of like binding around. And that's what happens when it gets its nutrients. Can you imagine our life? Our spirit has to have water to grow. And if it doesn't, it will shrivel up and it will eventually die. And you'll find out, you know, that some people, you wonder, how did they start off knowing the word of God? Preaching, as a matter of fact, the word of God. And one day walk away from it all and end up so far from God. Because they stop watering their spirit. And how do we water our spirit? We water our spirit with the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us every day. And that's why the scripture says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a continuous thing every day. Because when we drink water, it starts off full, and then eventually it goes down. This bottle was completely full when I got it, when I opened it, but I've been drinking it. And as I drink out of it, it goes down. Well, if I don't replenish it, I just have an empty bottle. And that's how our spirit is. If we're not filling it up with water, then it's going to remain empty. And when it becomes empty, it becomes nothing but a piece of trash, right? We just toss it because there's no use for it anymore. And that's what happens in our life. In John 4:10, the woman at the well, you know, Jesus comes by and he has this conversation with the woman And he's talking to her and he's asking her for a drink of water. He's been sitting by the well this whole time. And she starts asking him, well, why are you asking me for water? For one, I'm a Samaritan. And he says, you know, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She said, well, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? You know, we don't have to have something to draw with. The Holy Spirit does this for us. All we have to be is an empty vessel, right? And willing to allow the Holy Spirit to pour in us and the presence of God to envelop us. You know, those two things go hand in hand. And I believe, you know, in the beginning, when you first get saved, God gives you that presence. That's why they say new believers are so excited because they spend so much time in his presence. And then they find that they're having a hard time getting back to that same place. And that's because they haven't gone to that next step that keeps them in that place. You know, when you start off as a child, the Lord, or, you know, even in the natural, there are some accommodations that you make because they're young, they don't know how, you do it for them, right? But then when you get of age, there's a time where you have to do some things for yourself. And that's like being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I didn't totally plan on going in the Holy Spirit avenue here. It's kind of just taking me here. But it goes right along with the whole water thing because the Holy Spirit is the water. He is the water. And so the presence of God, if you're finding it hard to find that place in the presence of God, check and see, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit first? And if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, have you been refilled? How often have you been refilled? Every day. When we get in that word, that's given us, we're getting under the spigot, so to speak. And when we're saying, you know, having that time of prayer and worship, we are allowing ourselves to be filled back up. When we are using that the spiritual tongue that the Lord gives us, we are allowing ourselves to be filled back up. I love this line in a verse, let's see, verse 7. It says, deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. And when you're going through a struggle in a time of, you know, depression or financial, you know, heaviness, you know, you've got bills that are just sitting over you and foreclosure that you're looking at and the loss of your vehicle or whatever it is, you know, you've got that weight hanging over you, or maybe you got, you know, a report from the doctor that says the cancer is back, you know, or something looks funny, you know, and you get these reports. When you first hear that, what happens? You feel like you're tumbling in all of this craziness, right? You feel like you're just being overwhelmed by a waterfall of just emotions and things that are just, you know, just tumbling you. And that's where I see how this deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. And I wanted to know, like, what exactly does that mean? And it says, there's two ways that they look at this. The Hebrew word translated deep refers to the deepest depths of the sea. But someone else, and I'm going to read it verbatim, it says, James Smith and Robert Lee beautifully elaborated on the meaning of deep calls to deep in their multi-volume Handfuls of Purpose for Christian Workers. The deep of man's need calls unto the deep of God's fullness. And the deep of God's fullness calls unto the deep of man's need. Between our emptiness and his all-sufficiency, there's a great gulf. Deep calls unto deep. The deep mercy of God needs our emptiness into which it can pour itself. Nothing can fully meet the depth of our need but the depth of his almighty fullness. That's powerful. Our need for God is so deep and so great that it calls to God. And the deepness that God's graciousness and mercy, he can pull out, he can answer to that deep longing that's within us. That panting after the water, that desire, that strong desire to know God, to be in his presence, to be filled up so that we can face the things that we've got out there to face. And so that deep calls unto deep is just so, I mean, it's so powerful, because I know there are so many times that I don't understand what that is, but now I can identify, because I've had that longing, that groaning within me that just, God, I just need you. I don't know what I need, but I know I need you. And then he comes and he pours something into me that satisfies. And it's so beyond my understanding that I don't really understand what he's done, but I know that he's done it. And what it is that deep need inside of me and God answering it back with the fullness of what he has to give me. I'm going to stop here real quick because I keep talking. Does anybody have any questions or something they want to add real quick? And I'll take a drink of water because I need water. Nope. Nope. Yes. Nope. Okay. We'll keep going. So I'm going to give y'all some facts about water. And I want you to look at this both in the natural and in the spiritual realm. Because this is what I found powerful when the Lord started showing me these things. Hopefully my iPad will not die because it's like 4%.
You want a charger for me?
If you got one.
I'm sure I can find one.
Be great. So our body is made up of 70% of water, and 85% of our brain is made up of water. I think we need some water, right? You know, it's such an amazing thing that our brain is made up of 85% water. How much more do we need the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in our lives? Because God has made this comparison with the Holy Spirit and his presence to water. 70% of our body is made up of water. That's amazing. So when they put the spear in Christ's side, what came out? Blood and water. That living water came flowing out. And so we need that presence of God and the water. It's on this side. Yeah. Move this to this side, and that way it'll reach. So, first, and I'm going to give you 10 things about water that is amazing. If I can get the plug in. Water is absolutely essential to the human body survival. A person can live about a month without food, but only a week without water. And I know how I am. When I have gone a week without spending time in the Lord's presence, mm-hmm. without communion with God, and without letting the Holy Spirit work in my life, everybody can tell. Everybody can tell. Because my voice gets sharper. I have way less patience with everybody in my household. And I find that when I'm not in my word, I gravitate to just natural things. I'm on television more. I'm on games on my phone so that I could just zone out more. Or I'm on social media more. Because my spirit man is not telling me to go here because I've neglected it. So my natural man is rising up and saying, no, you really want this. And this is what I end up going. And if I keep week after week allowing that to happen, I get further and further away from the things of God. And when I'm further away from the things of God, my spirit man is dying. It is dying. Number two, water helps maintain healthy body weight by increasing metabolism and regulating the appetite. When we're consistently spending time in the presence of God and being filled with the Holy Spirit, it increases our appetite for the things of God. You find that you want to be in church more often. You find you want to be in the Word more often. You find you don't want to be around your secular friends. You want to be around your Christian friends more often. Because all of a sudden, what they have to say really starts to irritate you. So you want to gravitate to your Christian friends because you identify more with what they have to say and how they live their life. Because you are allowing the water of God to be filled up in your life, right? Number three, water leads to increased energy levels. The most common cause of daytime fatigue is actually mild dehydration. I learned a lot with that one because I normally don't like water, so I have to make myself to drink water. I have to make myself drink water. How many of y'all have to make yourself get in the Word sometimes? Because we haven't developed an appetite for that, right? Once we develop that appetite, we find we want water more often. Well, guess what I find? Now I don't have to make myself drink so much because now my body's like, oh, now that you're drinking water, you need water. And it tells me, drink water. Mm-hmm. Cokes don't taste as good because now I want water. And so my appetite is changing because of what I'm feeding it. So I'm feeding it water and it wants water way more often. I sent my son to the store 9:30 last night because I didn't have any water in the house. And I didn't want water out the spigot. I wanted my bottle of water. So it's like, he's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I need some water. I would have never done that. And that's how it is with the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that excites me.
Yeah.
That excites me because I realize the more water I get from the Word, the more I want.
Yeah.
And when I'm thirsty, I realize immediately, I need some of this water. I haven't had my Word today. That's why I'm so thirsty. That's why I'm desiring this. So it actually creates an appetite for more. Number four, drinking adequate amounts of water can decrease the risk of certain types of cancer, including colon cancer, bladder cancer, and breast cancer. So in the presence of the Lord, it protects us from the diseases of the world, such as murmuring, complaining, lying, many other things. I mean, that's what it does because it's causing those things that would normally naturally occur within us, the Holy Spirit or the water of the Word counteracts that and comes up against it and is kind of like an antibody that pushes those things away. And when we're not drinking enough of us, the antibodies are having a harder time to fight against that, right? Yeah. What are some other, anybody have any other diseases of the world that the Holy Spirit can keep us from having? I gave y'all a few examples. Anybody got?
I'm just wondering what happened about this psalm. This psalm, it's just amazing. This psalmist, he is being chased by enemies. He is despondent, and he wants his God back. Mm-hmm. And I think these people, that the Israelites, have been through so much that we can hardly even understand. And yet, I think my biggest thing is my own mind. That's my biggest enemy. And it just puts it in perspective. These people loved God and they wanted God with all their heart. And we have everything before us. And yet, I let my mind deceive me and make me grumble and even make me mad at God for things that aren't important. Mm-hmm. It's the way to call.
That's good. That's really good.
Like unforgiveness and bitterness, I think the Holy Spirit convicts us mm-hmm. and helps us get rid of those things and gives us the grace from God to get rid of those things.
Yep.
That's a cancer, I think things.
Oh, yeah. Unforgiveness is a big, bitterness is a really big cancer, mm-hmm. a really big cancer. It is known to be connected to cancer scientifically. Anybody else?
I'm just thinking about so many times when we just get busy with ministry, the things that we're doing, just, teaching Bible studies, going about our life, how so many times without water you can get fatigued and just tired and weary, and how much I've just been thinking about this just for myself, that we just constantly need to go back and just spend that time with the Lord each and every morning, because we could just keep busy in ourselves with the things where we're just pouring out that water. And just like you're saying, if we're not replenishing it, we're just going to quickly dry up and have nothing to give. And how easy it is just to find ourselves in that trap of just pouring out, especially for me, you know, personally, how much I need that just each and every day.
Yeah, that's definitely important. Because we're made to pour out. We're vessels. We're made to pour out, but we also have to take in to have something pour out. So that's good. All right, number five. For the majority of sufferers, drinking water can significantly... Oh, did it die? It died.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I got it on my iPhone. So I don't know why it's not charging. I'm going to find my spot here. I said number five.
Yeah.
All right. Now I gotta put my specs on. The majority of sufferers drinking water can significantly reduce joint and or back pain just from drinking water. The presence of God is just a healing property. I mean, regardless of whatever issues that you're having in your life, His presence. Just the very presence. Sometimes God will just heal your body and nobody touched you. Nobody prayed over you. But just spending that time in His presence, He knows the needs you have. And sometimes He just, in all of His grace and mercy, just pours it out on you. And you realize when you get up, you know, I'm not in pain anymore. I don't have this issue anymore. Because God just did it as you selflessly allow yourself to be poured into by the Holy Spirit.
Or for me, sometimes it keeps me down longer, so that I don't have the time to spend with Him and His Word.
Yeah.
Which I didn't have before.
There you go. Yeah, I've been in that situation where the Lord put me flat on my back just so that I'd finally stop and listen to Him. And you allowed me to be put on my back.
That can be
moments
too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the time of COVID was a great opportunity to learn about the presence of God, because that's, you know, and a lot of us did find that during that time, because God was able, we were able to hear Him because we weren't at work here and all the other stuff, and you know, we weren't around our family members taking in a lot of things that we didn't need, and so we were able to hear the call of the Lord a little better and get in His presence more. Number six, water leads to overall great health by flushing out waste and bacteria that can cause disease. Being purified by the presence of the Lord leads to healthy Christian life. It washes us and cleanses us. I have experienced that. I mean, the Bible says to be the continual washing of the word. We have to have that continual washing. Why? Because if you don't take a bath, you stink. It's just as simple as that. Our body takes on, you know, impurities and germs and things like that. And we have to wash. You know, as much as they want to use disinfectant stuff, you know, there's nothing like good old-fashioned hot water and some soap to wash the germs off, right? Mm-hmm. We have to wash our bodies so that we don't smell. Well, if we are not getting washed in the Word and the Holy Spirit in His presence, we stink, and people notice it. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't know what's the matter with her today. But she got up on the wrong side of bed, as my mama used to say. You need to go back upstairs and get in the bed and get up on the right side. And it's so, I mean, it's so true. Like I said, people in my household, my family, they know when I haven't, you know, I hadn't been in the Word like I normally am, because it shows. I stink, and they're like, I don't want to be around you. You need to go take a bath in the Word. You know? So that is another correlation of how the Holy Spirit and the water is so, so alike. It says water can prevent and alleviate headaches. Of course, the presence of the Lord can come and keep the things that are bothering us. He can wash those concerns away. He can bring the healing in when we need it to our minds and our spirits. I used to be tormented with thoughts and with memories all the time. But when I'd get into the presence of God, he would overtake those things. And that it would just wash it right out of my mind and give me that sweet sleep that I needed, you know, where nightmares would come to me. Well, if I spend time in God's word, his presence would take over my mind and I can rest. I think it even says that somewhere in one of these scriptures where he talks about, what scripture is it? Where is it at? He's talking about laying down. There it is. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. He is praying to himself and singing these psalms when he goes to sleep so that the spirit of the Lord, the washing of that, is helping him to rest. So, and that's actually something I like to do. I like to put on scriptures and to music when I'm having a hard time sleeping, and it works, you know. Either that or I start praying for people, and that always works. It's like I go to sleep like that. Number eight, water naturally moisturizes the skin and ensures cellular formation underneath layers of the skin to give it a healthy, glowing appearance. When you have been in the presence of God, just like Moses, he came down out of the presence of God and he was shining. We glow with the Holy Spirit, and the world sees it because they live in a dark place. And when they see light, they know the difference, right? And so they see that light, and they're like, wow, what is it that you have that's different from what I have? I need that light. And they're drawn to it. You know, the things in the darkness are drawn to the light. And so, and we are softened like that moisture. We have moisture in our spirit, so we're softened and able to hear and respond to those lost people that come, that are drawn to our life. And when we're not in this, in the, that time, guess what happens? Our light begins to dim because we're not being filled up. We're not spending that time in his presence. His water, his presence, his Holy Spirit is so, so, so important in our lives. And I mean, we're seeing it. If we didn't have water to drink, we would be dead. You know, we have to have, even the desert has to have the dew for the small plants that live there to live. If they don't get the dew, all you have is dried dirt that just blows in the wind. There's nothing that can live, no purpose there. But God can cause in your desert, if you're in that desert today, God can cause that spring of water to begin to well up within you and come bursting forth. Amen. I love that old song. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well.
Gush, 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 gush.
And give to me that life abundantly. I love that because it, and that's, even when you sing the song, you can't help but get happy. You know, it's just one of those things.
That's because you're singing. When I'm singing, everybody's going, well.
I don't think so.
You sound a lot better. Got that jazz.
Number nine, water aids in digestion and processes and prevents constipation.
Oh, wow.
The presence of God keeps our spirit from getting stopped up with waste. Mm-hmm. See, things come into our spirit on a daily basis. And if we aren't being washed in the water of the word, if we're not in his presence, the filter is not working. So we're taking in all the wastes of the world and we get stopped up and it's like nothing's happening in our life because all the wastes that have come through our spirit is not getting flushed out. And so we're stopped up. And it's time to go back into the word and say, God, I need some help here. Because I'm not digesting your word anymore. Nothing's going through. I'm not retaining anything. I'm not getting anything because there's too much waste in my body. And what happens when that waste begins to back up? It makes a person so sick, they have to go to the hospital and get surgery and hopefully not die. Mm-hmm. Because our body isn't made to carry waste. Our spiritual man is not made to carry that waste. And so that Holy Spirit, amen, will just wash that waste right out of your body so that it doesn't create disease and then death. So I found that one very powerful.
Yeah.
And the last one, water is the primary mode of transportation for all nutrients in the body and is essential for proper circulation. That is powerful because after we have gone through all these things that water is important for, which is for our natural man, for our body, our person, if we aren't having all these things in our lives, it makes us sick, it causes us problems, our brains can have issues, our body can have issues, we get stopped up. But then that water is a primary source of transportation for our nutrients to go through. If the Holy Spirit and the presence of God is not flowing through us, that means that we're not flowing out to his people and to the world. We are that transportation for the nutrients of God's word and everything that we know about God to get out to others. So if we've allowed it all to get stopped up within us, then it's just there and causing us to get sick. But when we're allowing that water to flow through us, then we are now an avenue for God to take his word and his presence to other people and bring health and healing to other people. And so can you just imagine, just with us here, I'm flowing out to all of you. And then all of you are flowing out to others. And the word of God can get out to, can you imagine how many people? Just if we just multiply this by every person in here, which I'm not good at math, so I'm not even going to attempt. So, but you can imagine those numbers of just the word of God getting out to those, that many people, and then that many people, and then that many, because God's word is a living water. We have to have living water. We can't drink stagnant water because why? There's disease, there's pestilence in the water, which will what? Make us sick. We can't drink out of just any fountain. We have to drink out of a living fountain, one that is moving the water through. If the water's not moving, then it's stagnant, which means it's sitting there collecting nastiness. But when it's flowing, that means it's washing the impurities and the bad things out, and you're getting fresh water. When the water comes down the mountain, it's going through all kinds of things, and the rocks actually work like filters, and it catches things, and you're getting that pure, beautiful tasting. And I don't know if you've ever been to California and tasted the water that comes down off the mountains, but it's a different type of water, or a fresh spring water. It's just something different about it, because it's been through a filtering process as naturally that the Lord just put in place to cause all that yuckiness to get out of it, and you can drink. That's why third world countries need wells, because a lot of their water is stagnant and full of disease and causes so many illnesses and problems and has wiped out villages because the water was bad. Mm-hmm. So we have to have God's living water poured within us, and then we have to allow it to be able to flow out of us to other people. So I was excited. I don't know if y'all as excited as I was, but God's word is, mm-hmm. It's just amazing how you can take that one little tiny bit about water. And he mentions water over and over again throughout this whole passage. And you know, you might get a totally different thing, which is the other incredible thing about God's word. how you can, you know, speak to one person one thing and a million people something totally different out of one passage. But just the picture of this deer drinking that water, he's in a peaceful setting and he's being nourished and he's being refreshed. And that's how I feel every time I spend time in the presence of God and I allow the Holy Spirit to pour into me and to refresh me and to fill me up so that I can go out and do more of whatever it is that he has in my path to do. And sometimes evangelism isn't going to the, you know, the street corner or the stage on church. Sometimes it's just us living our life at our jobs, in front of our family, in front of our children, and letting God's presence just show to them. And we're preaching the entire word because we're letting that Holy Spirit, that washing of the word, show them that this is something you need in your life. And they'll begin to question and ask. And God will open up that door for you to become that living word to somebody else. Amen. Amen. Anybody have any parting questions before we close up?
I think this is interesting in the scripture. In verse 8, it says, "For each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me." And I was talking to this Muslim once, and I told him that God loved him. And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "God, he loves you." And he said, he was stumped, and he couldn't understand it. And he said, "You mean like I treat my children?" And I said, "But so much more." And I was thinking, this Israelite knew God's unfailing love and how special our inheritance is from this initial religion of the Israelites who knew, and all the people around them, they were scared of their gods.
Mm-hmm.
So it's encouraging.
Mm-hmm. It is. Amen. I thought it was beautiful that even though he's struggling and desires this present, he's encouraging himself in the word, you know. I know my God is going to see me through this, you know, why so downcast on my soul? Just put your hope in God. And he had to remind himself of these things so that he can make it through these different situations. And I've done that so many times. I would say, "Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows fall?" Because I know that God is watching over me. He's there. He's seeing us through every situation.
Yes,
I love the word of his water, and it is powerful. And I wish Pastor Lee could preach all of what I just said for y'all so that y'all can get the power of what it is. It's like, for me, I'm just like, I can't squeeze all the goodness out of it. And I know Pastor Lee can. So if he ever does do that, you make sure you let me know.
Okay.
so I can watch it.
Amen.
But, you know, God's good. Mm-hmm. He's good. Well, I'm going to close with prayer. Do we have any prayer needs?
Just going back before we pray. It's interesting that, the psalmist is talking about the spirit of the soul thirst. And he says we're going to go and meet with God. So like you said, he reminds himself through this song that his hope is in Christ, and like when we want to be fed, he goes to work. But he was talking about the days he would get to meet with him, in his house, will be his meeting with him anytime. You're talking about that in non-married couples, how like in the Old Testament, Abraham, Moses, and all these men, they would be in the presence of God for a time when the Lord would meet again, and he had a holy place on the temple. But once that cloth was, torn after the crucifixion, we can go into his presence and have the Holy Spirit.
Holy, holy.
That water that will quench our spirit.
That's right. We can go straight into the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. I love that. Wow.
Make you think of another song. Too,
it probably. Did. I'm telling you, in our house, every time and when I'm with my brothers and sisters, every time we talk, every word reminds us of a song.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
Oh,
are you
praying for the last week, and you prayed that you can go home and notice the difference? Later that afternoon, he said something that even that, you know, I don't know, today's just kind of been a turnaround for me.
Praise God.
It's been a turnaround.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah. So what a only stayed up the other day all day, but I didn't have to do it now.
That's awesome.
I mean, so he's definitely, you know, we're on the better side of this.
Praise God.
And really, but that was funny. I meant to text you that to tell you that what he said. I don't know, today it's just kind of been different.
That's awesome. God is so good.
He's got our prayers on.
Amen.
Amen.
I got testimony too.
Here's an answer.
And that is after I talked about the shepherd and him watching over us, I went to Morgan City the next day to minister at the detox center. And when I went to sign in at the desk, they have a large, I guess it's plexiglass, it's that thick glass that they have there, and it slides. And she went to slide the window open to give me the clipboard to sign. And there's like a ledge. And so I was standing at the ledge, and the glass, she went to move it, and it fell at me.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know, well, I know, it was God. I caught it just like this with one hand. It just scared me. I just kind of caught it just like that. And Sister Dana's sister,
Teresa
was with me. And she just kind of let out a, ooh, you know, and it cracked all the way across, but it didn't break apart. Mm. And I don't, it was just, we were all just kind of stunned because it could have fallen on my feet and it could have broken in my hands at the same time. Mm. And it was just like God was watching over me. And I said, well, there goes my good shepherd. My good shepherd was taking care of me.
Amen.
He really was taking care of me. This is a beautiful moment. Because we just kept talking about it for the rest of it. It was just like, it happened so fast. And I don't usually have quick reflexes, but I caught it with one hand up against the thing before the lady took that. And we have no idea how it, and you know, those things have a deep groove, but that deep for it to slide in. And it just popped right out, right at me. And I was like, the devil is alive. So, God was watching over me. My shepherd's been looking over my shoulder, all week.
Thank you, Jesus.
Anybody else? All right. Anybody want to pray?
Pray for this weekend, Lee, ministering, and for.
And I'm going to rehearsal in just a minute, so please pray.
God, we thank you for today. Thank you for this wonderful word that we can just dig into. Thank you, Lord, that we can be constantly washed by your word. God, just pray, Lord, for all of us just to truly take this to heart, Lord, to seek you. And I thank you, Lord, that we can thirst for you, God, and just long for your righteousness, God. Thank you, Lord, that you answer us. And thank you, Lord, that you wash us with your presence and your word, God. Thank you for who you are, God, how much you need us. I just pray that you bless BJ, God, for speaking to us today, God. Just give her a supernatural anointing, God, as she goes to rehearsal and sings, Lord. And with everything she puts her hands to, God, just ask that you just bless her, God. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful testimony, Mr. Billy. And thank you, Lord, for touching his body, God. Just continue to work and heal him, Lord. I just pray, God, that you would just be with us, God, as we go about the rest of our day. Be with Pastor Lee this weekend, God, as he preaches the Jared's church and as they have their annual hymn. And I just pray that you would bless that, Lord, and let there be souls saved, God, that never. Knowing you more, God, pray, Lord, that people that are just running about, God, that prodigals would come home. I just pray, Lord, that you would tell people that you want to hear, God, and just keep your lives in, God. Just thank you for everything you've done. Just love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.